Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey everybody, welcome to the ANN After Show. It's me, Lindsay Loveridge, and James Beckett, and Jackie Ching are here.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hello.
So we're back this week on the Trigun train. We missed it last week because we were watching Attack on Titan, but now we're here ready to discuss what I think is the debate of the generation. Was Knives right, actually, though? Question mark. If you're watching us live on YouTube, you can see what my current opinion is, because hashtag Knives was right. I'm prepared to defend that opinion as necessary. Jackie's already talked to me a little bit off camera about how I'm wrong, and
we'll get into that later.
I forgot that we changed our titles last time. I love that Jackie is still Stain's number one fan.
I know. I was like, gonna change it. I was like, nah, actually, I'm gonna keep this the way it is.
And James is still defending Ma from Made in Abyss. He did nothing wrong.
Nothing
wrong at all.
Mania was fine. They pushed the little butthole back in, so it was fine.
I will never like Ma. I'm just wanna lay that out there for everyone.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, it might be because his arm.
Oh, yeah. His weird arm after.
Weird arm. We all know what the arm looks like. And we all know what Ma looks like. And we all, like, there's just numerous things about Ma I just can't get over.
Yeah.
Number one, he squeezed Mina's intestines out of his little holes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was not nice. Anyway, so moving on. It wasn't
nice.
He didn't know.
Yeah.
Do not defend Ma. All right, that needs an episode on its own.
Yeah, yeah. That's our next in our series of problematic faves, Ma. But this week our problematic fave, or maybe just mine, is Knives. Before we get to that though, I want to remind everyone, please subscribe to this channel. We're on YouTube, Twitter, Jackie's Twitch, and also Facebook. Right now. And you can also check out our other video content. Jackie and Dan work really hard on it. We've got two videos going up on all the social media channels, including TikTok, at Anime News Network on TikTok, and at Anime News Network on Instagram. Jackie just got back from Nintendo World. Actually, maybe we should talk to Jackie about Nintendo World for a little bit.
I want to hear about Nintendo World.
Yeah, we could. Dope as So basically, it's really, really cool. Like, I walked in there and I was totally blown away. I almost started crying because it was just like so surreal to be seen, you know, this world that you love so much when you're a kid brought to life. So if I can just give people like a 1 minute pitch on it, it's definitely worth going in to see. But then it's so crowded right now that it's pretty awful in there if you're the type who doesn't like crowds. I don't personally mind it, but like even I was kind of like, wow, this is a ton of people. And I would say if you're a completionist, you're going to have a real hard time there, because it's like there's mini games that lead to Bowser Jr.'s castle. You got to get a $45 power band. The lines for all these mini games are really long and they're like fun, but they're like a little kiddie. But the Mario Kart ride is super fun. Again, a 200-minute wait in the line. The Toadstool Cafe, yummy, but then you have to book a reservation and then wait in the line for like an hour. So it's pretty brutal waiting wise, but it was just super cool. Like it's really cool that they have all that together. I would like advise people to go like in a year or two when all the hype dies down, because it's just like the waiting is pretty, pretty awful. And there's no, you can't be like, oh, what if I have an express pass, whatever. The only way to, like, I think, get through those lines is if you have, like, a VIP, which is, like, very, very expensive. So, yeah. And I think, like, in ways, Lindsay's going with her family, and I told her, I'm like, well, you're going to have to get a power band for every single, well, there were some loopholes. I told you my friend used mine and they weren't too strict about it. And they let her come into Bowser's castle with me, Bowser Jr.'s castle with me, even though she wasn't supposed to. But like, basically it's super cool. And like the main attractions are, you walk in through Peach's castle, which is super cute and beautiful. There's Bowser Jr.'s castle. He stole the golden mushroom. You have to complete these mini games to go defeat him. And then there's Bowser's like Mario Kart ride, and you go into Bowser's castle, which looks really neat. So it's like really cool. And I love the elements to it, but it's just like the lines are really, really brutal right now. I also got to meet Princess Toadstool, or Peach, depending on your age range. I said, oh my god, Princess Toadstool, and like some kid was like, that's Princess Peach. I was like, I'm old. When I played, when I was your age, she's known as Toadstool.
Yeah.
And I almost got kicked out for yelling at the kid. No, I'm kidding. That didn't
happen. Like, Mario and Luigi dragging Jackie out.
Yeah, exactly.
Arms.
Yeah.
Let me get him.
It's Princess Toadstool. But it was actually really funny because Princess Toadstool, Peach, whatever, came out, and like all these grown men like started shrieking like a K-pop star came, but they're like, oh my god, and I was like, like this is cool. I was excited too. I was like, yay. But it was like,
now, was she wearing like a mascot head, or was it just a mascot head?
It wasn't like a girl dressed up as her.
Didn't go like the Disney princess route.
It's like a I was going to say a furry costume, but that's not right. But
right. No, like a mascot costume.
That's a good way to put it.
Now, was Bowser hot in real life? Like he is in the movie?
No Bowser, but Mario and Luigi came out, and their line was intolerably long. So I just didn't. I waited in Princess Toadstool's like 15 minutes before. But then I had to wait 15 minutes. It was worth it. She was worth it. And she like talked, she has like some AI voice. So I don't know who's in there, but it's like, she's like, oh, you're so cute. It's so nice to meet you. And it's like in her voice. And she was like talking to me forever. She was like, oh, it's so like, and I was like, this is like weird, but cool at the same time. So
like, it was like a live conversation. It wasn't just like pre-recorded.
Yeah, I thought she was like pressing buttons to talk to people at first. But then when I got there, she was like pretty, you know, like it didn't seem like generic answers. Okay. So I was like, oh, cool. But I don't know if it's like someone speaking and then
or like a voice modulator, maybe.
Yeah, it seemed like a voice modulator or something, which is like insane. Like I was like, wow, like someone's talking.
I haven't thought about that. I mean, like AI voices are terrifying, and the implications of artificial intelligence keep me awake at night. But the way that we could like at Disney, if you could just like have Goofy like have like a 20-minute conversation about like Kingdom Hearts lore with you.
Yeah.
Like, hey, so like what's Sora like in real life? And he'd be like, oh, well, you know, he's kind of an egomaniac, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty cool. Another thing we should talk about is that whole AI thing, Lindsay, actually.
Right. Yeah, actually that's a good idea. We have a video coming out about that pretty soon, I think. But quite a few people probably watched that video made by Corridor where they fed, oh, James is already upset, where they fed an artificial intelligence Vampire Hunter D bloodlust footage and then filmed live action footage and used the AI to attempt to make it look like Vampire Hunter D bloodlust, which in that case, that art style is, you know, based on Yoshitaka Amano, who did the character designs and illustrations for the original novels, and Yoshiaki Kawajiri as well, I think, is the one who directed.
You know what's interesting? There were people who were actually like supportive of it, which was like kind of wild to me, but people were like, it looks really cool, and you know, whatever, you know. And I think overwhelmingly negative response to it, and understandably. I don't know if you want to keep on going, but I was just like, I was surprised that people were like even positive about it, you know?
There is like a subsection of people who are supportive of the AI art movement. Corridor, the makers of the video, talked about democratizing art, which James, like, biggest eye roll ever. So I feel like the support there and that specific comment is kind of based on two things. One of them is art is hard, it requires a lot of work and skill to become a good artist. There's also this sort of false notion that some people are just born with a like natural aptitude for it and are gifted, and that's why they're artists, when really, like, maybe some people do have an aptitude, like maybe pick up on the skills better, have better fine motor skills when it comes to their hands or, and things like that. But the vast majority just kept drawing crappy stuff until it wasn't crappy anymore, and now they're good at it. And that takes...
that's like the whole... That's what makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Is,
nah. Yeah. And so that requires effort and time and, you know, just investment to get these skills so that you can create the art that's in your head and have a representation of that on paper. And some people are just, so when they say democratizing, what they're, the false notion that that it is under is that art skill is some sort of like elitist specialty skill that everyone doesn't have access to, when the fact is, like, now more people have access to it than ever. You can watch a lot of how-to videos on YouTube. You can get like a tablet to draw if you want to do it all, for fairly inexpensive now. Like, the technology isn't super expensive to get started at it. There's tons of tutorials. There's tons of artist community groups that like create tutorials to help you draw hands better, or, you know, body figures. You don't necessarily have to fork out a bunch of money to go to some kind of like Juilliard or something so you can make the best art anymore. You just have to have the time and the dedication to get good at it and not judge yourself too harshly, because it's going to look like shit for a while. That's just how it works. So you have these people who don't want to do the hard part of it, and they want to just have the quick result appear immediately. So why don't I just train a computer and feed it art that I like that other people trained and dedicated themselves to, so I can get it right now? It's like instant gratification, and trying to call
that. It's the McDonald'sification of art.
Yeah.
People. Yeah. It's because you know what has historically made for the best art is when we make it as easy and cheap and devoid of a unique human personality as possible. That's always made for the best stuff. That's what people love, right?
Yeah, exactly.
When you don't have to put any thought or effort or time into it, and you can just snap your fingers and make it happen. I don't know. I don't understand this person. I mean, I get it, right? I have ADHD, and my whole life, something I've struggled with is sticking with practice, right? Mm-hmm. That's something I've always had a hard time with. One of the things I really love about my job with ANN is that it forces me to always be writing. I can't stop ever. And that's it. I need that, because sometimes, I'll be honest, writing kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But you know how you get better at it? Is you do it every single day for like 20 years. And then suddenly it's not so hard anymore. Or at least it's, you know, relatively speaking, not so hard.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, if you don't like doing the thing, if you don't like to draw, if you don't like to practice an instrument, if you don't like to write, and I'm talking about generally, because yeah, it's going to be rough sometimes. That's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
But if you don't enjoy the process of putting words together or putting colors together or performing on a stage or editing video or editing audio, then I don't understand why you feel like you should still be able to have the thing that comes from that work.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I don't go out there saying, hey, everyone should listen to all the wonderful music I would totally be able to make if I started learning to play an instrument when I was 5. You know, like, yeah. I don't know. That's just,
I think that there's definitely like a couple ways to look at this. Like, I think, like Lindsay was saying, there is like a learning aspect to this, which is very, very neat and cool. But in the end, it's very concerning if someone's just like straight up stealing images and like completely mimicking them and then just trying to portray it as like, this is my work. Like, that's a serious issue. Yeah. And I think that we are seeing all of this AI stuff coming out. First, it was like that little, I mean, this isn't first, but when it started to really catch my attention was when that AI app came out. Remember, everyone was like putting themselves through that. I forgot what it was called.
Oh, but then like, they were like, yeah, it was like a photo filter kind of.
Yeah. Thing. And, yeah. And I agreed that it was, it looked cool, but then it was also like there, this is scary because it takes away work from people for sure. You know, and it really definitely, like, there are people who work their whole life at it. And it's beautiful and it's their craft, you know? So I just think like, we're in this time where this is all starting to work its way out and it's very controversial. And so I think Corridor Crew, them coming out and like just taking a hard side on it was just like, I think really intense. I think like if they'd come out and been like, hey, this is you know, I don't want anyone to come at me here, but like, it is kind of cool that they made that with stuff, you know, like that they just took frames and they did it. Like it's wild that technology's advanced that much, but there's major concerning factors about that. And like, it was kind of in their video. I don't know if they leaned into that enough.
Well, if they just said, hey, look at this cool experiment that we pulled off.
Yeah.
That'd be one thing. Right. But the fact that they, and I get it. They want the clicks. They want the attention.
Exactly.
But the fact that they're like, hey, did we just change anime forever?
Yeah, the title. Like, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
You didn't make anime. You stole anime from other people and then rotoscoped it on top of your crappy anime parody. and to have the presumptuous sort of like, look at what we did to like change the industry. Exactly.
The tone
forever.
Was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Then they also monetized it too. So, I mean,
they monetized it. The tone was really bad. I don't know the names of each host, but one host was on there and was just like acting like James said, like this was like some state-of-the-art thing that they had innovated and that like it was like going to open the world to like this like new wonderfulness or something. Like that was like kind of the vibe I was getting. And I was just like, I just wish that they would have, like James said, just been like, this is crazy technology, but like this is also very scary technology. Like there was just a lot of ways that it could have been approached. Also, a lot of people were like they were pushing or replying with the Miyazaki video where people when they showed him. That video to this day has to be some of the funniest I've ever seen. Like that man is cruel AF, and like literally they showed him the technology, and he was like, "This is painful," and if you have no idea what pain, like just like literally just like. Was like, this is disgusting and repulsive and painful. And if you guys don't know what pain is, like, I don't even remember like what he said to them. I was just like, I would like have broken down into tears. And then he was like, why did you show this to me? And they were like, well, we wanted to just show you the technology that we can, you know, give this to everyone or whatever. And then he's like, the end of the world is near. Like that was his response. I mean, he's just like, the end is near. Like these people are like, well, we just wanted to show like what the technology could do to you. And he was like, the end of the world is near. Like, and I was just like, I mean, I think everything Miyazaki said was right. It was definitely harshly delivered.
Imagine going up to your, the god of your industry. And he just looks you in the eye and says, you should be ashamed of what you've done.
Like literally,
how dare you?
I wrote the article when that first happened. So just to clarify for people in the chat, that was kind of AI, but it's not the type we're talking about here. And this was a couple years ago, and it was a company called they're known as DNA, like DENA, and they are involved in technology and quite a few things. And they put on a presentation for Miyazaki that involved AI trying to make a human figure move without input. And the result was something that was kind of like eerie zombie looking. It was moving the body, like the CG body was moving in unnatural ways that was kind of disturbing. And Hayao Miyazaki hated it. He told them all that he hated it. He said it was an insult to life itself. He brought up a story about a friend that he has who I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, has cerebral palsy or another like degenerative disorder. And he said the CG reminded him of his friend and that that's why he brought up pain. He was like, this is insulting. This looks painful. It reminds me of my friend who has these painful, like erratic motions. And the fact that this, you know, you're not considering that and how that looks. And he just basically said their work lacked any humanity.
Yeah, he tore, I mean, which is valid. Like it did lack humanity, right? Because it was, And even the quarter crew thing, like, I'm not going to lie. When I watched it, I was like, dang, like, technology's come this far that they literally just used a program and put this over, like, it, you know, even VTubers now, like, that, that's astonishing to me, like, to watch that stuff. Like, I'm like, what? Like, you can't, like, discredit, like, the advancement of technology and how, like, shocking it is, but you also cannot not account for this stuff lacking humanity, like, and it does lack humanity. It's just like a weird time with all this stuff. And we did the story about the One Piece creator feeding into the AI chat, like, potential story ideas. And you know, like, a lot of people were pissed. It was funny because my friend didn't even know I had worked on that story, and she was like, dude, for writing stuff, like, I've been using this ChatGPT, and like, it, because she, again, like many of us from our generation, struggles with ADD and ADHD, and she was like, it just helps me collect my thoughts, right? And I was like, this is dumb. I was like, show it to me. And then she was like, here, I'm gonna type in Jackie Chan bio. And I was like, this is better than my effing bio that I wrote. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she just typed in there, write a bio about Jackie Jing, and it just collected stuff from Google about me.
Yeah.
And I was
like, some of it is. Another thing that's come up with ChatGPT though is that it also just makes shit up wholesale. So it'll just
it said I was from Texas, actually. That was no relation to Texas at all. But
I was involved in some completely unrelated podcast and publication for like decades.
We've checked it just to sort of see what its level is at, and there have been some articles that actually came out recently this week. They're referring to it as hallucinating, that the machine is hallucinating, which basically just means that it wants to tell you what it thinks you want to know. And if it doesn't have that information from a source, it'll make something up that sounds reasonable, which is really dangerous if you're using it for journalism, any kind of like nonfiction, or as like a tool for research or something like that. You just have to know that at least at this point in time, it'll completely falsify statements. For instance, I have also put my name into it. While it said a bunch of very nice things about me, it also, you know, said like I translated manga. I have never translated a manga. I have no manga translation credits.
She does translate my articles, though, and that's saying a lot about her skills. So
thank you.
I was like, here's my Super Nintendo World guide. And then she was just like, I don't know. You were nice about it. But yeah. Like,
no, Jackie's actually really good. But I
did some things. It was definitely in Jackie's train of thought. And then I was like, here's a cheat code randomly. And here's another cheat code to Super Nintendo. And now here's another cheat code. I was like, this is like so just my stream of consciousness. And then I was like, side notes. Here's some great vegan options. Other side note, my favorite dishes. And I was just like, this is like so how I would have.
Which was funny because when I looked at it, I was like, oh, putting the vegan options in here is actually a really good idea, because a lot of vegans probably don't get that information from a mainstream publication. Like, how many write-ups are out there that tell you if you're vegan, what should you eat at Toadstool Cafe?
Yeah.
So that's a good angle. So I kept it.
Yeah, my friend and I lean vegan, but she's like hardcore. And so we were like shocked they had it, because she was like, dude, there's not gonna be anything for me to eat there. And then I was like, oh no. Like, they had really, and the food is actually pretty solid, everybody. Mushroom soup was my favorite, Lindsay. So when you go there, a little salty, but after a long day, it would like hit the spot.
They did that to the toad guy?
Oh yeah, you eat its brains, and it's just mushy mushroom guts in there.
Is that how the Mario movie's gonna end? Is they're gonna like cave in his skull and just scoop it out with their
hands? Yeah, that's pretty much. That's what we were doing. We literally took the top of the head off and ate it. Pretty savage now that I'm thinking about it. At the moment, I didn't.
That's like really interactive art, though. That's like.
Yeah, next level.
That's really brave of Nintendo to do that.
To be honest, Lindsay, too, the desserts like looked amazing. I didn't eat any of them because I got too full, but the table next to us got them, and I was like, you and the kids just want to do a dessert day there.
I hope they have like little like Turkish delights or something, but they're like the little blocks.
We have tiramisu blocks, which are, you know, like the mystery box. And then I forgot what you called it. Remember the little hill you jump on and you grab the flag and you'd be like, do, 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 do,
do, the victory thing.
Yeah, that has a name. I saw it when we made our video. I was like, I didn't know that had a name. Like,
I don't know what it's called
in Mario. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, and they called it by the name in the dessert thing. I was like, I don't remember what it is now, but. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, well, did we have another or other stories that Naruto is it's the 20th anniversary. So I had to do a story on that and I was like, dude,
we're all crumbling into dust. It's fine.
I'm effing old. Naruto's 20 years old now? Like, this is disgusting.
Well, Jackie, he has a child, so
yeah, I was gonna say.
Like, still, like, I'm just like, really? And then I think Sailor Moon, like, it said 31. And then Lindsay, I forgot what you said.
I said 35. I thought it was like,
yeah, yeah. And then you were like, oh, some like Sailor Moon's 35. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, not quite yet. Like,
it was, I mean, the Dragon Ball franchise is going to be turning 40 here in the next few years, right? Like, that can't be that far
off. That's insane. No. That sounds like about 80, right. That 85? Sounds about right.
I was just going to say Usagi's like pushing close to 50 at this point, though, if she was 14 when it came out.
That's true.
That's wild.
It's true. That's 90s, wild. Yeah.
She'd be rocking like she'd have like the Jamie Lee Curtis.
We need
like
to do like a deep dive article on how Sailor Moon fashion like shapes my life.
Okay.
I don't know.
Are you going to get those badass shoes that they came out with? It was like $1,000 Sailor. No.
The Jimmy Choo's. Yeah. I linked Lindsay on that immediately. Someone said that to me. I was like, Lindsay.
The Ray ones are the most affordable. They're only like $700 or something.
Yeah, Jackie sent them to me, and then I sent them immediately to my husband. I was like,
I think that the Sailor Moon boots were like definitely. I think I want to say $1,000 to $3,000. I forgot Sailor Moon. Yeah. Jimmy Choo lot, boots.
Most of them were in like the four digits. I feel.
Yeah, it's It's 1950. I think. Ooh.
Yeah. I kept wondering, like, you know, if we
reach that 1950 yen?
No. 1825 here, actually.
Hey, Danny Chu, like, if you still have that weird Mirai doll that you want to push, like, maybe we can do like a tit for tat and I'll let you have a feature for your stupid dolls and you can send me some of your dad's shoes.
Oh my gosh.
Did you know that Jimmy Choo's son is a big weeb?
I would assume. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Dude, I don't know which ones I like the best. I wish I could share my screen. Because
I feel like Mercury's are the most practical.
Mercury's are really nice.
No, they're bright blue platforms. Oh, Jupiter's are boots? I would wear those all the time.
It might be Jupiter for the win. I'm not going to lie. I would wear all of these. They're like combat boots with a heel. I honestly would wear all of these shoes. And I think I rarely say that about a connection or a collection.
Yeah.
Vans released one and I was like, yeah, cool. But like literally all of these are cute. They're all really cute.
The only thing is like, I don't wear a lot of like high saturated color like you do. So like for me, I'd want the Jupiter shoes, but I just want the green, like scaled a little bit more earthy so I could wear it with everything. So I don't
it's like, real
you could,
bright.
You could spray paint them, I'm sure. Like that's
not gonna spend that much money on
$1,500. You could never
combat boots then at like a secondhand store in spring.
No, you gotta treat it like gunplay. You gotta customize it. You gotta
I want them. I want the shoes so bad. Yeah. Can we start a GoFundMe?
Get Lindsay and Jackie Jimmy Choo's shoes.
Yeah, please.
Donate to our cause.
Just like, get me some gunplay, guys.
It's like negative 20. Like no one. Everyone's like, no, dude.
They actually took our money from us.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's it.
Yeah. Just a note on the Naruto thing. It's getting new episodes, I think. So like,
they said four.
Yeah.
They said four.
So,
sick
of Boruto, which also recently wrapped for its first part. Nart is back. Nart and Bort.
Sounds like a Nickelodeon sitcom from like the 90s. Nart and Bort.
Kind of like Mork and Mindy.
Same vibe.
All right, are we ready for Trigun?
Yeah.
All right. So we didn't talk about it last week, so we're gonna kind of like recap a little bit, and then we'll get into the meat of the most recent episode. James, what happened last week?
Oh God, what did happen last week? So we got a much clearer breakdown of like when things are happening.
Yeah.
The kind of flashback, not flashback disconnect was resolved a bit. We see that well, we kind of pick up with when Vash reconnected with Nye, aka Millions Knives, a name he gave himself, by the way.
Yes, he did.
He chose that name on the other ship that he'd been hanging out with Dr. What's his butt? I keep forgetting his name.
Or something?
I think so. Yeah. Dr. Baldman before he went bald.
Yeah.
And
I didn't put that together.
I didn't put it together immediately either. I'm like, never that's the guy.
I did not think it was the bald researcher dude at all.
Conrad is his name. Okay.
Conrad. There we go. Dr. Conrad. And long story short, Nye is pissed off that humans are using up all the plants and not caring about their dignity and their, I mean, humanity is not the right word, but their personhood, right? Mm-hmm. Even though, as Vash points out, that without the aid of like the little techno bubble tube things they're in, the plants basically burn out almost immediately. Like they don't last very long. And so the only way for them to live like any kind of period of time is through the stasis pods or whatever you want to call them. But then of course they get used as living batteries.
Why are they dying? Is like, so humans are just using them too quickly and
so
burning them out essentially.
Yeah. The way he explains it is that like outside of the pods, they use up all of their energy super, super quick and they basically like blow out. But then when you channel the energy, you can like harness it for a really, really long time. But eventually they're still going to kind of run out of their power and they're going to, I can't remember what they called it, but they have like one last burst of energy and then they like kill them.
Or ultimate point, if we just let them become humanoid, they can live outside of those tubes and gains free will.
But then do they still produce energy? Like, is there any use to them besides them just being humanoid?
They produce things like knives or
nails
or black holes is what I think.
But that doesn't provide that they want them for their energy. Like, they don't want them to be.
I am sure you could build some kind of knife powered windmill.
Million knives could open a Jamba Juice. That's what they would.
Yeah, do. Why not? That's
great. Nice. Killing me right
those,
now.
He's got those little things of wheatgrass that he's tossing out left and right.
He could work at a fancy hotel.
A fancy LA juicery.
They could remake that movie, The Menu, but star Millions Knives, and it would be a mess.
What is Vash's power even?
I think he can make black holes.
He makes black holes. That's how his arm gets.
That's actually pretty dope. Yes,
in like garbage trash disposal.
Yeah.
I feel like there are so many laws of physics you could just like loophole around with that black hole arm.
Yeah, but he's never getting his arm back. It like self imploded. I mean, it got sucked into itself.
It did. So we learned it. So. Millions Knives is anti-human terrorist, wants to blow up all the people and let plants through the world. Vash isn't cool with that because he likes himself some peoples and he's not a huge fan of all the murder. And his desire to protect Luida, is that her name? Luida?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vash, I don't know why Knives tries this because there is nothing to indicate that this would work. But Luida shows up to rescue Vash, and Knives does that whole, do it, Vash. Kill her. Become one of us. And Vash is like, no. What the hell are you talking about? Why would I do that? And Knives is like, how dare you betray me? It's like, dude, like.
You've always been a little bit of a psycho, to be honest, Nye. Like,
yeah, Knives is nuts. By the way, let's give props where props are due, though. Knives can play a freaking piano. Like, yeah, every time... Every time there's a piano scene, I'm like, I want to re-listen to this. Like, where can I listen to this song? It's amazing.
And we know that his piano playing is powered by spite because he wants to be able to play that duet just by himself.
Oh, also, yeah. Was there a dead plant above the piano?
Yeah. She's like, petrified, maybe. I'm not sure.
She ain't alive.
No. Yeah. No.
She also looks way more human than the other plants. I don't know if that's just
creepy. He's a very disturbed individual. Knives a very disturbed individual.
But
and then there's
we have reason to believe that there's reason for that. We get Lindsay's, some In this week's episode, we get some hints that Dr. Baldwin was real abusive and messed up. And maybe...
Yeah, we're going to get like a whole backstory on Conrad, Dr. Conrad, because we saw that he... I'm kind of wondering, like, okay, because Theo's been saying
Comments, he was abusive. Wait, I missed
all that. Well, it's very...
It's implied.
Implied. They didn't really show anything yet.
Okay, because so, I was like, I did not see that.
And it's kind of putting me on a train of thought, because as Theo was saying in the chat, apparently plants are like bioengineered. So I had thought that maybe they're extraterrestrial beings or something, but I guess the idea is that they were bioengineered at one point, and that came with humans after they left Earth because they destroyed it and were trying to find a new world to terraform. And so they brought all these plants and stuff with them. And then you have the Independence. And then we see, which are like Vash and Nye and Eladira. Yeah, Eladira and the Crimson Nail. Yeah. So those are independent. Well, I don't know if she's actually an independent or not. She might be a little more tweaked. But... they all look alike, right? Like, they all look like these blonde children. And then we see in a photo...
Well, Eladir is a clone, right? Isn't she like a...
She's
like
a clone.
Mini Knives?
Yeah, she's a clone.
Isn't that what they were saying?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then we see Dr. Conrad has, like, this built-up guilt complex. And they show he has a photo of himself with this blonde child who... doesn't
a very look, traumatized child.
Who looks sad. Yeah.
And so there's some the implication there is like he did something. Or that child met a tragic end and he feels responsible. There's something like there's some
Who doesn't have a tragic end in this? Like, name one character in this anime. Say
in general.
Well, that's true. Like, in general. But yeah, but in this anime in particular, I'm just like, nobody has it happy.
The Boys Love Gang is doing all right.
The windsurfers seemed okay. They seemed well adjusted, even though they're covered in like day glow body paint.
By the way, y'all, Roberto dying, I just like straight up missed. Like, I was like, did I watch it? And then like you guys were like, and then I went back and I was like, gosh, I must have forgot. I must have like tuned out and missed the whole ending or, you know, whatever. And then I was like, I just must have like looked away and was eating during that part. Yeah. I saw the whole ending. I was like, wait, I already saw the ending. So I don't know. I just Okay, by the way, not that I'm happy that Roberto's gone, but I was like, when they were, the girl was shooting all the nails, I was like, there's no way no one got hit with the nail.
Yeah.
And then when that happened, I was like, oh, yeah.
He got real hit.
Yeah.
I felt bad. I thought he might get hit in the leg or the foot. Because I was like, oh, he's getting, his foot is gone. Like, I was literally, when she started shooting them.
No, he went out drunk. Like, he was getting really drunk throughout the entire episode because the doctor is like giving them a tour and he's like, here are the tiny, terrifying babies that I have made to help Knives create a new race to take over the world. Yeah. And you know, here's my experiment room that's still covered in blood, and this is where I tortured Wolfwood. And
I know why, what was with the weird tour?
And then in the background, Roberto's just like, fuck this. He's just like drinking alcohol. You can watch him pacing back and forth, just like drinking out of this flask.
He's like, why are we here? We're gonna die. I can't
handle this. They're gonna kill us after they show us all the murder equipment. Like,
yeah. We get confirmation that the doctor truly does believe that he's helping people, right? Like, he even explains that, like, no, I took these sick, dying orphans that were screwed anyway, and I helped them by turning them into horrifying monstrosities. And also, like, a really sexy, hopefully not super underage priest man. We still haven't clarified that, but...
Yeah,
you know, he's smoking cigarettes all the time, so whatever, I guess. But he does say, like, hey, like, I believe that I help these people. And of course, Roberto's like, I'm just gonna keep drinking back here.
Yeah,
that this ends soon. Although I will say that to the people that were, and obviously we don't know how the show's gonna end, but to the people that were theorizing that, you know, Roberto was sort of like a setup or a transitional character to maybe imply the existence of a future character.
Millie.
Yeah. He does give her, because I looked it up because I never saw the original anime.
The
gun that he's using, the little pistol thingy, that's the gun that Meryl used when she was like, you know.
Oh, that's a nice homage.
Yeah.
And that is cool. That is really cool. Mm-hmm. We didn't love Roberto. Like, he was fine. But it was like, that was sad.
Like, he was very clearly there to die. Like, I think episode two, we all talked about, like, he kind of feels like he's there to be depressed and die.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's not going to make it.
He's older. He wasn't, like, really having an impact on anybody. Like, yeah, I think that.
So I think it is good for Meryl's character development.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking about how she hasn't done a whole lot in the show yet. And the whole, I really like, because, Lindsay, you've been talking a lot about how, I just forgot his name. Crossman. Handsome
Crossman. Nicholas Wolfwood?
Thank you. Nicholas Wolfwood.
Crossman.
Yeah, Nicholas Wolfwood. We've been talking about how, Wolfwood's whole ethos is that, you know, in order to protect people, you have to kill people. Whereas Vash is very much like searching for any alternative to violence that he can.
Right.
And it's sort of that moment where Nye is, or maybe it's Wolfwood. Someone is monologuing about, you know, the need to make the choice to do harm in order to enact the greater good. And it's kind of focusing in on Meryl with, like, she's loading the gun and she's like looking super determined. And it seems
She takes the elevator back down too, or back up, I think. So, I mean, she's thinking about pulling the trigger on somebody. Maybe Elendira or the whole thing.
I bet she's going to kill that clone girl for sure.
Either the clone
girl sucked. God, she sucked.
She was funny.
I was like,
she sucked. Like, she's funny in how much she sucks. Like, she starts crying the minute she gets nicked. Like,
which is kind of like classic creepy anime kid thing. Seriously, is that they're always like, "We'll kill you until you hurt
something
me,
happens
and then
to
I
you.
Have some sort of weird mental break." I like her design in general. Her power is pretty cool. Don't know. It seems like she just sort of generates those nails out of her whatever the gate is. Whatever. I still don't fully understand what that is. Trelawney's mentioned in here. He's wondering if Meryl getting the gun is actually set up as opposed to an homage. The only way I can see it being like a setup is if this ends and proves that like they're in some sort of weird time loop scenario where, like, now she redoes everything, but she's got Roberto's gun and it's Millie instead or something. I don't think
it's like a prequel. Like, it's going to end with like them like hunting for Vash. And it's going to be her and Millie looking for him.
Kind of rewriting the motivation from the original series. Seeking him. I mean, maybe I would kind of hate that, but it's possible.
We've only got two episodes left in the season if it's a one core. So I don't really, I will say, I'm not sure how the story's going to wrap up if it's only 12 episodes.
Oh, also in the comment, I may have slipped up and I wanted to point this out. Yasuhiro Nighthow did say on Twitter that Elendira has no gender. So he didn't distinctly say Elendira is male or he said that they are neither male nor female.
Interesting. At first I thought it was a boy. Yeah. And then when I heard the voice, I thought it was a girl. But okay, they.
Yeah. So just trying to they
like. Do we know if there's any, because I've been hearing mixed things. Do we know if there's any similar distinction for the Zazie, the beast?
Oh, well, I mean, I assume you could kind of make a similar distinction for Zazie, because Zazie is just a pile of worms in a trench coat, essentially. They get shot. I believe it's in this episode they get shot and they just sort of evaporate into a bunch of bugs and then reassemble. Their mask is really
what
cool.
happened to the bug person? They just disappeared.
They're just hanging.
They're just hanging out.
Waiting to see what happens, probably.
I did think it's interesting their pick is like, we're worms, we don't take any sides. We basically just like, hey, Knives and Vash, like try and sell us on your plan. We're gonna go with whichever one we think will best benefit us and is not gonna destroy the planet. Because that's their primary concern, is humans destroyed their last planet and now they're coming here and they might destroy our planet, and we're not really cool with that. So unless you can, which is why I think they've sided with Knives up until this point.
Well, I mean, if humans are historically good at anything, it's definitely learning from our mistakes. Mm-hmm. Really good at that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm putting a vote in for old Bash because there's no way we'd ruin the environment on purpose twice. Come on.
So I'm Team Knives.
Because Tim's laughing way too hard at his own joke. Like Lindsay and I are like.
Well, I mean, my reaction was to denote that I noticed the sarcasm here. But yeah, I'm Team Knives up to this point.
Why?
Okay. How? Let me tell you why I'm Team Knives. Humans suck. All right. And in this timeline specifically, they sucked really goddamn hard. They sucked enough that they screwed over their planet and then went out into space. They figured out how to bioengineer a sentient being that they can keep in little power pods and suck the life out of to power their cities. And then they spend a lot of this episode trying to, Vash included, trying to argue that that's okay because they need it. And I guess as someone who's like really aware of the stuff that's going on with climate change right now, I'm like, no, someone needs to tell you no. No, maybe you shouldn't have picked the sand planet to like terraform. Now, they didn't really have a choice on that necessarily because like Knives
crashed in there.
Yes. Made them crash there. Okay, so I understand that part. But regardless, like Vash comes in there, he's like, Knives, I'm taking back all the plant people you stole and I'm going to give them back so they can continue to power the factories around the Earth because the humans need them real bad. No, let the plant people be free. Give them freedom. Build another spaceship and go somewhere else. I don't.
Maybe. And it is true that Luita does have an alternate plan.
I like Luita's plan.
Regular plan.
I like Luita's plan.
It'll take a while.
Yes, that's the argument that Conrad makes is that, well, Luita's got a great plan and she's got a beautiful biosphere that's got plants growing and everything, but it would take forever to do that. And our plant cloning human hybrids would be
Look,
faster.
If these guys can invent black hole magic power immortal test tube babies, they can invent miracle grow.
Yeah, first of all, Knives is insane. Like Knives is crazy. Like he literally is like, I'm S tier. I'm going to clone, like take parts of myself and clone it, and like I just don't know how much of a narcissist someone can be. Like that's like pretty wild, and like basically just like recreate some sort of like being, right, based on himself. It's pretty messed up, Lindsay.
Yeah.
By the way, when I said that to Lindsay, she was
around himself.
By the way, when I said this to Lindsay, she was like thinking about it. She's like, is it? I was like, oh my goodness. But I do think that like, yes, humanity has fallen very, very far or low or whatever you want to say. And but you have to keep faith and you need to have hope, right? And that's what Vash is, which is why I'm Vash and I put Vash over Knives. And yeah. James, we're not talking about that anime right now. So you need to change your title.
I didn't do
it. Pick a team. I just want to say, I see
a lot of people in the comments disagreeing with me and you're wrong, but I want to acknowledge, okay, a couple of things. One is that plant people are biologically incapable of being free. Yeah, because we grew them that way, which is pretty messed up. We grew them that way so they could be our weird sentient power plants. And that's just kind of messed up. But
it's
also
very messed up.
Also, Knives' plan will free them because he's just going to merge. He's going to make plant human hybrid clone things and then, let that happen and wipe out humanity. Now you might say, Lindsay, wiping out humanity is mean. And what should I say? I don't care. Cause it sucks. Okay.
We had our shot.
We've got people freezing themselves for 150 years just to wake back up and check on and see if anything got better. And it hasn't, it still sucks.
That is true. Luita and
Brad.
Luita and Brad's name. Their plan is they haven't gotten a lot done in the time that they've gotten one garden going, and they have a greenhouse, and
Mr. A is in here. A lot of the stuff that you're talking about is not textual to the anime. I don't know if this is like more apparent in the manga, this part about like recreating the old West Christianity with missions and residential schools and conversion therapy and whatnot. I mean, yeah, okay, I guess we could try and like read that out from that if you want to make a one for one for like what they were doing to the orphans and stuff. But I am not necessarily comfortable without like either reading the manga or rewatching the show and going through it with a lens about residential schools and whatnot. Cause I mean, that's terrible stuff that happened to the Native Americans here. Maybe that is what Night Owl was drawing from. I don't actually have any knowledge of whether that was an intentional reference he was making. Yes, there was an episode specifically about the weird religion. And yes, I guess you're right that Knives and the Doctor were playing into that in that one particular town. Although we haven't seen evidence that that's happening on like a wide scale throughout No Man's Land. That does give me pause when I think about it, because that did perpetuate a lot of pain specifically that they were like taking child sacrifices. Remember, the Doctor was taking child sacrifices out of there. Specifically, so yes, I felt
like, there's all these really awful, terrible things affiliated with Knives.
Yeah,
she's like, okay. This
so is what Lizzie is saying is she's a Knives reformist.
You know what?
She's yeah, gonna take the Knives philosophy. She's gonna make it better.
She's like me with Stain. Like she sees some, like she sees something like deep down in their messed up psyche that is like, okay, like I could actually F with that. Like I get it. Like overall is Stain, you know, really awful person who doesn't have a nose. Yes.
Yes.
But are there parts of his ideologies that I'm like, you know, I understand that though. I think it's the same thing with not. I get what you're saying with, you know, like he's pissed. He's done. He's over it. Like he thinks humans are disgusting. And he's like, just like, you know what? Y'all don't deserve to live. And you know, it's, you almost have to praise the guy for the level of narcissism that he's like, I'm going to clone myself. And like,
he doesn't have that many options to be fair. Like if you're going to clone an independent plant, how many people does he currently have to pick from specifically? There's him that we know of and Vash, right?
And so, I mean, that leads to our other point though. So Vash at the end gets cut off and like dumped in acid or something.
Yeah, we don't really know what's going on with that. It does. I'm not sure if it was acid or some sort of weird pool.
But
or...
I was not expecting that. I was like, oh, Vash is going to get out of this. And then it was like snip. And then he was down in liquid. I was like, oh. Like, I don't know about y'all. I was like, okay.
To be continued.
Yeah, but maybe he'll pull a Vash and just like hop out of there and be completely not injured in any way. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea. But I was just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I have found Trigon to be very entertaining. And I feel like people have been kind of like naysaying it because the, like, yes, the animation, I get it. It's not as great as like hand-drawn anime. Like, I'll be real, but like, it's still like entertaining to watch and pretty fun, you know? Like, so, which kind of goes into our whole AI debate we were having earlier. Like,
I think the CG in the show is, this is the kind of CG animation where if more anime started to look this good.
Sorry? Like, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to be a complete asshole about it. I know that, like, this isn't a perfect argument, but I just understand his reasoning. Maybe I don't agree with any of his methods, but I understand his misanthropy, and in that case, I think he's right. So that's about all I have to say about that, I guess, in general.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Knives was right.
I think Sorry. Knives is a great villain. Like,
I think he is a great villain.
I really do. Yeah. I think he's...
I do think what is being done to the plants is wrong. And I fully embrace, like, the idea that, like, using them as a power source out of, like, necessity for human survival sucks, and that's not a good enough reason for me.
And I think he's a great villain, too, because...
I was just saying, I think we need a little more information. Not that the way they're treating the plants is good. I think that's very clearly been like shown to not be a great thing.
Yeah.
But it's true that like in the chat and in the show, it's not super clear how sentient they are. Mm-hmm. Like they have faces and eyes, which makes it iffy. But like, it isn't.
They're
clear,
like cats, James. What are you saying? That we just like slaughter cats?
No. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying
okay.
That,
I was like, he's like, we don't know how sentient they are. Like I'm like, they're living.
But like the fact that like Vash can like communicate with them and calm them down. Yeah. Like, are they living in some kind of dream thing, like a simulation where like
James, now you're getting hippie on us. Where is this?
What I'm saying is. The one thing that makes it harder for me to like fully sympathize with Knives' plan, even though I agree people do suck and we tend to screw everything up when we get our hands on it, is that it's a little hard to know how much of his righteous fury is like super justified on the part of like saving the plants. Like, I don't know what saving the plants looks like. Is he gonna like bust them out of the tubes and they're gonna like live a happy life outside?
Yeah, we don't really know what's going to go on with all the ones that he's stolen at this point. Like, what his plan is to do.
Is he just using them as much as the humans are, but in a different way? Like, I don't
know. Well, you're right. We don't know what Knives is doing.
I reserve the right to change my opinion if I find out that Knives is also going to do something crappy to all the
I was going to say. If he's doing something, I don't think that, though. Hopefully not. I do feel like I always love a villain that I can sympathize with, right? And so, like, the thing that is interesting about Knives is, like, he is part plant, right? And so he sees them, and he communicates with them, and he understands them, and he feels like they are a part of him. So he's, like, really pissed, and I feel like he's justified in that anger, you know? But he's just kind of been blinded by that anger, and he's not able to see anything like past the plants, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And past how he feels. Like, he's not taking into regard like humanity, other people's lives. Like, it's just like, he's just sees his goal. He's just seeing red, for lack of a better word. So, gosh, if he's trying to use the plants for his own, but then, you know, like we've seen, you know, with Batman villains, like, I just think of the Joker, you know, and he, all of his gang members and stuff like that, he ended up just killing them and stuff, or like using them as part of his plan. I just think about like Heath Ledger's when he like put the bomb in that dude, you know, and stuff like that. It's like, maybe he will use the plants as like some part of some bigger plan, which would be totally messed up.
But, I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. Which is worse? Both of these things have been said by different parties that they were done for the greater good. Yeah. One is experimenting on human children, and the other is enslaving plants and continually using them as a power source.
Both bad.
Really both bad. Both really terrible, Lindsay. Both
just
awful.
Just wanted to offer that.
Oh my gosh, they're both terrible.
Because Vash so far has said that the plant should continue to be used by that. Also, does anyone else here think Vash is a coward? Because I think his pacifism made more sense in the original series. And here it's being presented sort of like, not just like there's always another option, you know, not that there always needs to be a gray area. They do bring that up a little bit, like how, who was it that said, I used to be like you and thought everything was black and white. And then that was Brad. It was Brad who said that. Brad. Yeah. And so
that's and the researcher, right? The bald guy.
No. Bald guy is the evil doctor. Brad is the guy.
Spiky hair guy.
He's got blonde spiky hair. And he's one of the guys. He like freezes himself and wakes back up with Luita, and he's in that spaceship.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I remember it was like an older guy. Yeah.
And he says this to Wolfwood. Now I think that part is true. Yeah, it's not always black and white, or there, you know, you can think outside of the box and find more peaceful solutions. But also, as Mr. A brought up in the chat, Vash's inability to act for the greater good when it might involve violence could be one of the reasons that Knives has gotten as far as he has.
I think the show
could shut shit down.
Yeah. I think the show is definitely challenging his efforts to be neutral very intentionally. Like, I think it's absolutely questioning, like, when does living by your principles stop becoming admirable you know, in circumstances where other people start to be hurt by that choice.
Yeah. So why is he not doing anything? Because he feels like, I'm part plant, I'm part human, I should just let this play out how it should. Is that kind of his thoughts?
What I take from it is that Vash, this is probably me also siding with Knives, Vash is oversympathetic to humans in general and carries an immense amount of guilt due to his part in, even though it wasn't intentional, in the death of what I think was hundreds of thousands of people on those spaceships when they
crashed. He definitely feels guilty about that.
So he just does not want to ever.
He got tricked, right?
Well, yeah, he was a child.
Which is like, I'm just like, dude, go to therapy. Like, I mean, that's a lot.
I don't know if that's an option.
But it's like,
Jazzy would be a good therapist, to be honest. Like,
but it's like, he did not, he's not responsible for all those people dying. Right. He gave that information to his brother because he thought it was his brother. You know, like that, that's like, you cannot, that's why, like, sometimes that story, I'm kind of like, anyway, sorry, continue. But yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, that's basically it. And I think even Knives knows it's not. I mean, he says it's kind of his fault, but I think Knives knows he was taking advantage of someone who trusted him. And so Vash, I mean, I can understand like not really, but I can understand the immensity of seeing a choice you made and then it play out in like the worst way beyond what you could conceive and then feeling bad about it, even though it wasn't honest mistake.
Yeah, you can, I mean, feeling bad about it, but then it's also like, I don't know, I think that, like, I mean, James said it, like, Vash is gonna have to start taking action here, you know what I mean? It's like, but what is Vash actually,
you can't just continue to like stand by and watch this stuff play out at this point.
Yeah, Vash annoys me. Like, I used to love Vash. I don't know why. Maybe as a kid, I just wasn't as annoyed by his pacifism. But like, his pacifism is straight up annoying me in this, because I just feel like there's so many fights and so much violence and so much stuff that he could squash instantly. You know what I mean? And
he would just use his power again. He could create a black hole and suck everything really bad into it. And I mean, we don't know where it goes. But
yeah,
we don't really, I guess, like, we don't look know where, like, you can really control it. Like,
that's the other thing I was gonna say for that James just brought up, was that like, he might be pacifistic. I don't even know how to say that. But he might be taking that path because like, he's afraid if he does get angry about it and does try to do something about it, like what the repercussions will be. So maybe that's why he's like, I don't want to take action unless I absolutely have to. And I don't even know what's going to happen if I try. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this one weird thing? James included a screenshot of the contract.
Yeah.
And it's only on screen for a little bit when Wolfwood gets it. And so it's written in English and it's actually got some
very
pretty,
good English. Yeah.
Yeah. So this, it says pastor's contract. So the Eye of Michael. So we haven't seen Legato and the rest of the Eye of Michael in a while. That's sort of the weird religious offshoot to all of this that included Wolfwood and a couple of the
all of these kids who got experimented on signed this, is essentially what it's saying.
I think so. Yeah. So it says the Eye of
Michael. Children. Messed up.
The Eye of Michael and Nicholas D. Wolfwood, pastor of St. Michael's Church, which we know is a fake church, do hereby enter into the following contract with respect to their work. The pastor agrees to faithfully perform all, so pastor must be a title at this point, which would include Wolfwood. The pastor agrees to faithfully perform all duties and command as commanded by the Eye of Michael, effective June 2nd, SE 1110. So that's probably however they date their years on this planet.
So he's been doing this for like 40 years.
Yes, I guess so.
Wolfwood has?
Yeah, because it's like 150 now.
Oh my gosh, we thought he was a kid. Then he
remember his aging is really weird.
Well,
though.
He aged for sure, but then now, although I guess he's older.
Wait. I guess we would have to go back and see what it said Meryl's birthday was.
Oh, yeah. We'd have to go back to the first episode and look at her driver's license or whatever it is. And to continue, it says, and to abide by all rules and regulations, swearing in the name of the two angels sent by God. I'm assuming that's referring to Knives and Dr. Conrad. The pastor agrees to receive immortal glory from the priest William through the suffering of the holy angel. So they've just like dressed up their human experimentation crap with all this like pseudo-religious language. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't get any of this unless you took a screenshot of the contract. In the event of abandonment of his duties or in the event that the executive board determines that there is sufficient cause, the pastor shall be permanently expelled from the Eye of Michael and St. Michael's Church, and the family members of the pastor shall be subject to the same punishment. He doesn't have, well, maybe Livio would maybe count as a family member. I'm not sure. So this also, Jackie, I remember you were upset that Nicholas wasn't a priest anymore. He was an undertaker. But this also says like pastor is more like a title. So he's technically a pastor and an undertaker.
So interesting, because I mean, I'm not a religion expert by any means, but I'm, you know, I'm Catholic and we call them priests, right?
Yeah.
But then I've heard that like, you know, in I guess you would say like Lutheran and other denominations, they call them a pastor. Yeah. But like some people say like priest and pastor is almost like synonymous in ways. Like it's like pretty similar on the level, right? Yeah. So I don't know, just interesting. They decided not to call him a priest, but they decided to call him a pastor. But it's like the same thing. They're all underlings, right? Like they're serving they're serving knives to bigger purpose, right? And they're calling knives and the researcher, they're Father. Calling them, I thought they were calling them angels, right?
No, Vash and Nye are the angels.
Oh,
Knives is definitely an angel. And I agree with James, I think Vash.
Yeah. So it'd be weird that they would refer to Vash in this contract, though.
But they're just the angels.
I think there's probably like this mythology of like, you know, the two angels, and because Knives very clearly wants to get Vash back on the side. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was like,
that makes sense. You know, and then it also, there's a special note down here, and the handwriting reminds me a little bit of Walt Disney, and I don't know his personal handwriting, and I don't know if that was intentional on their part or not.
It does look like his handwriting.
Weird. Yeah, but it says if the work is approved, the Hopeland Orphanage and the surrounding area shall be excluded from the pilgrimage rite. And then it's got William Conrad's signature on there. We don't know what the pilgrimage rite is, but I'm kind of wondering if
it's them kidnapping the kids.
Oh, okay. So Wolfwood was doing this specifically to ensure safe futures for the children in the orphanage.
It could be like you said, Lindsay, maybe there's like some final, you know, heaven's gatey kind of step where all the humans are going to die. And maybe they're saying, we'll let those ones live. But either way, he's trying to protect his family.
That was cool that you screenshotted that and like,
impressed the English was so well done. Like they, you know, it's like a,
oh, this anime ain't sparing any expense. Like, I feel like whoever is responsible for this remake, they were like, we are making this as epic as possible. You know what I mean? Like, they just the way that they reworked the characters. I feel like the story's been super strong. So, you know, we didn't talk about Buddy Daddies at all, and it's almost like time to end.
Yeah. That's okay. It was really cute. It was field day, and Ray finally got the acknowledgement that he needed to warm his heart about him and them being a family.
And he cheered for his girl.
That was cute. I'm not going to lie. Cute. I was watching it and I was like, I can't with the show. Like there's no action. It's just like cutesy all the time. Yeah. And then the Ray getting excited and cheering for her, like literally almost made me cry.
Yeah.
And then when he felt responsible for
tripping
and bawling, like I was just like, God, the level of self-hatred that this man has for himself is just cheering, like,
cheering is complicated.
Yeah. I know. And I love them. Like they're just such a duo. Was it Kaneki? Yeah. Kaneki and Ray are just such a duo. They just like crack me up. So like every time I start to watch the episode, it's like stupid. Nothing of significance is happening. And then I end up being like, gosh, darn it. It's pretty good. You know? So
I love that the moms are just straight up like, oh, everyone's thirsting after you guys hard. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Also the cameras, I'm sorry, Lindsay, like you're a parent and it's just like funny to me. I mean, like you don't need to be a parent to remember this. It's like you can be a kid and you remember how competitive parents are at like any parent-child outing. So, like, I just love that they're like, yes. They brought their like spy cameras. Like, everyone's like sitting with their little digital camera. Like,
that was my mom 100%. She scrapbooks. So, yeah. I have a scrapbook of like my life through school that is adorable.
Did she set up anti-personnel mines to reserve the best pictures?
Yeah, that was hilarious too. Was funny. Yeah. Kaneki's like, I think he took that a little too seriously, right? Like he was like setting up like a barrier so they wouldn't.
We saw him like jump over and he had like full camo paint on his face so he could like make sure the mission is completed.
Yeah. And he's like,
oh. Also the super competitive family. Like I was just like, this is just cracking me up. Because Lindsay, as a parent, like I think you know more than us, but it's like
the that boy is that they want to kill for like
Yeah, and then Kaneki's like, you little, I don't even remember, but he was like in some part during the marshmallow scene and like the kids running by, Kaneki's like, you little,
and Ray's just like, he dies.
Yeah.
It's not funny when you say it, man.
Yeah, it's cute. It's like
it's a shame that not my type. Usually, come and try to ruin their lives with
murders. Yeah, bad stuff.
Something's gonna happen with the mom too. I hope that like she has some sort of.
I'm surprised she hasn't come back more.
I think she's gonna come back. She's gonna be like, I messed up. I'm reformed my life. I'm trying to be back in my child's life.
No, she cannot take that girl from the daddies. No.
Yeah, but the daddies. Okay, so the daddies. This girl is like helping them evolve as human beings and like get acquainted with a side of themselves that I don't think they ever would have. Yeah. So it's like it's a beautiful story there. But like in the end, we know that like. They're gonna want their lives back, I feel like, in a sense, right? Maybe not. Maybe they'll decide
they
want to
be adorable soccer moms and raise
their
daughter.
I don't know about that, James. It's a very nice theory, but I think that, like, you know, it when the mom comes back, they're gonna be like, all right, like it's right for her to be there. And they'll have
they're gonna adopt her. She's gonna let
mom's
come
back.
I am going to
mom's coming back
on camera. I will,
mom's coming back. My gosh. No, all right.
She doesn't get to complain about the horrible chore of making her daughter cheap takeout steak and saying that it ruined her life and then be like, oh, never mind. I want my daughter back for some reason. No. Kazuki and Ray, no, I feel very strong.
I feel like she's gonna have some sort of like redemption arc, the mom and get back in. So
maybe she's lucky, she can get weekends. Yeah. Every other weekend, maybe.
God, James is way too passionate about this. I'm just great. Like, I can't.
They're her family. It's on the card, okay?
Oh my gosh. When they're like, we're family, and I don't even remember. They're all getting emotional about it. I was just like, this is too cute.
They took that cute photo together, and Ray's like,
Ray getting the girl getting the little like participation award though and being like so positive about it was so cute, you know, like she was like, oh well, this didn't work out the way I wanted to, and I was like, oh, she's so sweet, you know?
It's a gem. Yeah.
Oh, Theo said, I thought Naito was raised Catholic and is now a lapsed one. So I'm going to be honest. I think because I was raised Catholic that I really like when an anime has like religious undertones like that. And I'm not saying that it needs to be for Catholicism. I kind of actually like, and my dad would kill me if he ever listened to this, but it's like when it's like a dark version of it, like Trigun was like, when I remember back in the day, it was like Wolfwood was a priest, but he was killing people and he looked like a baddie, but he was like serving the greater good. Right. And like, I mean, I've said this to Lindsay numerous times, like I'm by no means I would say like a typical religious person. Like I do like going to church. I do like worshiping the way that I was raised. But there's definitely issues I find personally with the Catholic Church. I think many, you know, but I feel like, you know, we all have our own faith. I call it my Jackie faith, right? It's a little bit of tarot. It's a little bit of astrology. I pull from Catholicism. I pull from Hinduism, you know, a lot of different things. But it's like what I do to make me a good person and worship and feel connected to God, the source, whatever you want to call it, right? And so, but for some, I think it's because I was raised Catholic that like, seeing that contract is really fucking cool to me. Because I'm like, oh, the angels. Yeah, the angels and like the like the one thing, like, and people can hate on Catholicism all they want, and they're probably justified because there's a lot of fucked up shit with Catholicism. But the one thing I've always really loved about it is just like the beauty of it, like, right, like the giant cathedrals and like the structures and stuff like that. That's why, like, when you're breaking down that script, I was like, wow, that's super cool, you know, and like it is pain. In ways, homage to, you know, Catholicism or something. So it's interesting if he was Catholic and he fell off, but like it's just like a way of him, you know, kind of, I don't want to say honoring, but it's like, you know, taking from it, or yeah. I don't know. Help me think of an adjective
for
that.
My wife has said similar things because she's also, she grew up Catholic, and I'm not religious at all in any way, but my family is, and I went to church every single week for my entire childhood. And, but we went to one of those like non-denominational, very modern sort of, I guess, evangelical, but not in like the weird, not good way, like, yeah, you know, the homophobic stuff or anything like that, at least as far as I know. But point being, my family invited her over to, one of the Sunday services, and, you know, I grew up and I was like, yeah, this place is pretty cool. We get to sit in a room and like watch the thing on TV, and I can just like draw my notebook and ignore everything. And we have like a coffee bar and muffins. and I was like, oh yeah, you're going to love this. And she was like appalled. She was like, where's the iconography? Where's the beauty? Where's, you know, all of the stuff that makes any of this worth it? And I was like, but look, we got muffins. That's pretty cool, right?
Oh my god, okay, that whole, that should be in a show. That should be in a sitcom, that whole interaction, actually. That's hilarious.
I just wanted to bring up my favorite Catholic anime really quick, which is Vatican Miracle Examiners. Vatican Miracle Examiners, James.
Lindsay, you can't bring up that kind of trauma without...
Hold on, I gotta Google this. What is this? Vatican?
It's the anime where they murder evil clone Hitler with holy water, I think.
No, what is this? Vatican anime?
Vatican Miracle Examiners. It stars two priests, and their job is to look into supposed miracles and decide whether they are valid or not. The first one takes place over.
I'm not gonna lie, this actually looks amazing.
Okay.
One of the main guys looks like Levi. So.
Yes. And so the first arc, Jackie, you'll love this. The first arc, they go to South America, where there is a Catholic church, and supposedly a woman has been divinely impregnated there. And it just so happens that in South America, which has long been rumored as, well, I mean, so some Nazis led to South America. And there were rumors that Hitler didn't kill himself and he went to South America. This anime, it turns out that they are trying to clone Hitler by, because they have like a piece of his body and have injected it into a nun. And that's how she has been immaculately conceived. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes along with it. Then there's also one that has to do with a serial killer that dresses up like Santa.
Yeah. It's my favorite. I remember that. Yeah.
Dude, we need to watch this anime.
We really don't. No, we really don't.
We really do, though.
Truly.
We really do.
I have no apologies for what I've started.
We need to watch, what is this called? Vatican
Miracle Examiner.
I'm sorry. That is so anime that it's epic.
Yeah,
like it's so funny. I might
and there's also a lot of like that... a lot of homoerotic vibes.
Yeah, there's a lot of homoerotic.
Oh, of course, there's homoerotic. Look at these two. Like, come on now. Like, I'm like, I as soon as it came up,
that cowardly to do anything about it.
Yeah, it's all just
if it was like an illicit love affair between two X-Files priests.
Oh my gosh, this is giving me Case Study of Anitis vibes too.
Yeah. It's got, you know,
I could potentially be very much on board for this. I could.
Jackie,
James, did you watch the whole thing? Did you review it?
I reviewed it. I had to review that show. I had to somehow
explain to other people
what was happening. And it was driving me mad because every week I was like, all right, I know no one is watching this.
I was watching it.
You somehow let the madness continue where I had to explain in English words to sane, rational people what I was seeing and to have them not think that I was having a stroke. while I was writing, and it was very difficult. So,
oh, by the way, sorry, this is just, I Googled it. So Naito grew up as a Buddhist, but studied Catholicism and converted to it while retaining Buddhist principles. So he's got Naito religion, like Jackie. Like,
yeah.
So it's his own, it's like a combination. Yeah. These elements of Western Christianity and Catholicism are found throughout the manga and anime. Did you also know that Naito is affiliated with the obviously amazing anime Gungrave? Just wanted to point that out. Yeah.
We had this revelation last week, and it was.
I know. And he's also apparently affiliated with Birdie Wing, which I apparently need to rewatch. But yeah. I'm
like, now that's a show that we need to rewatch. We can.
Is that a Vatican miracle?
Oh no! Are we gonna do a double feature? Is that what's gonna happen? Are we gonna?
Oh, like... What if we did a classic and a current
from next season? Birdie Wing
or something. Yeah.
James is like, I can't. Okay, you know what? If we need to meet halfway between Gungrave and Birdie Wing, we could watch this Medical Examiner show.
You know, if we can get Jackie on board with freaking Birdie Wing, fine. Whatever. Let's do it. I will stock up on some of my own holy water, and we will dive back into the wonderful world of Vatican Miracle Examiner, maybe.
You guys always make me think maybe I just gave up on Birdie Wing a little too early. Like, maybe if I'd given it a little bit more time.
I never watched it.
Birdie Wing?
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
I thought you liked it. I thought you were a proponent of it.
No, I just liked teasing you.
She just likes the bit.
Gosh, how did we not? Okay, well,
it took all the attention off me not watching it if we just kept teasing me for not liking it.
In Birdie Wing's defense, the girl characters are really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I like them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the ones that I saw, and I was like, okay. By the way, someone said half of Gungrave is great. You are banned. You're banned from here. You're not allowed to come back. No, I'm kidding. But I don't agree with you. Are you okay? Hold on. Are you saying the second half isn't great? Because that I could actually vibe with that a little bit. But yeah, whoever you are, hit me up on Instagram and we'll have a full blown discussion. And you're going to regret it. You're going to be like, why did I message Jackie? And then I'm going to be writing them essays about Gungrave.
But... Well, no, the same person just said they hate Ma's hairy butt. So no, they are banned.
Yeah. You're banned.
Not allowed.
No. Yeah. Okay, but I do hate Ma's hairy butt, like literally. And I hate Ma's arm, and Ma is just really hard.
Yeah.
Ma is
really hard. It's just the problem.
You know, we've gone 20 minutes over, everybody. So I think it's time to say
goodbye. I have no words.
We've gotten to the point where maybe we're watching Vatican Miracle Examiners next season. So we've totally gone off the rails.
Yeah, everyone needs to go. We all need to end this immediately.
All right. Like, bye, guys. Thanks for coming. If you were wondering about the upcoming trailer watch party, all three of us plus Jeff Thieu from Mother's Basement will be on that, and it is on a Friday, the 24th of March at, I believe, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'll be making the placeholder video here very soon. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.